with information on the latest developments in assistive technology from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. Today's subject is a man who has a positive influence on the daily existence of people who are blind or vision impaired. David Woodbridge is Senior Adaptive Technology Consultant at Vision Australia. He's also an accessibility ambassador for Apple and a prolific blogger on accessible technologies. David devotes his professional life and much of his personal time to helping make computer and mobile technology accessible to people who cannot see. Blind from an early age himself, David is a model for how people with disabilities can use personal technology to be actively engaged, productive, and independent. He uses Apple products at work and home. Apple is recognised as the leader so far in building accessible software and encouraging the development of a wide range of apps. To begin, I ask David to tell us a little about his background and pathway to technology consulting.
Well, it was actually very strange. My background's actually originally in social work, so I won't tell when I did social work, but it was a very long time ago now. And when I first got my first job, it was basically what was called a PDP 11, which was like a mini mainframe. And all it had was a keyboard and a monitor and then, you know, some sort of network thing going up to the mini upstairs.
My gosh, very crude.
Correct. And I couldn't access it directly. So we bought back then an old, what was called a DeckTalk Classic, a very large external synthesizer. And I was at St. Vincent's Hospital doing drug and alcohol counselling. And right next to drug and alcohol place was the Garvan Institute. And a very clever person there actually wrote some software to make it actually talk to me. So with the DeckTalk sort of sat in between, if you like, the keyboard and the monitor almost and spoke what was on the screen. So that was very primitive. But then later on, probably about a couple of years after that, the Apple II came out and I had the ability then to do very tricky things to then access that system myself by using the Apple IIe. Mm. And I can remember at the time ringing up then the old Royal Blind Society, now Vision Australia, and asking them, could this possibly be done and would it work? And the person I spoke to said, most likely not. And of course, when somebody says to me, no, it can't be done. Correct, that's right. You think, aha, I'll just double check on that. And as it turned out, I could do it. So I guess ever since then, you know, being on the help desk as well at Vision Australia and doing all the research and resource stuff, I always like trying to find a solution that might be a roundabout way to do it, to give anybody access to a computer system, smartphone, or whatever else they may be using.
It is interesting looking at your background and thinking of the combination of being blind yourself and so going through life with a major disability, being a social worker and all the sort of empathy and the concern about others, and then also your obviously superior understanding of technology. It's a pretty powerful combination.
Yeah, well, I actually think the main thing, that I guess, particularly from the help desk point of view, is that when something doesn't work the first time, it doesn't particularly worry me. It's only when it gets up to about try number 9 or 10 that I start getting a little bit concerned, because to me, number one, it's always a challenge, and number two, I almost assume that the first, second, or third time won't work anyway. And it's just, it's very odd to say this, but the harder it is, the more fun it is, and the greater the challenge, the more fun it is as well. So, you know, funnily enough, I originally stopped using all the Apple gear in the 80s, and I probably really didn't rejoin the Apple staff until about 2005.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I can still remember there was a bit of a period of Apple existence where there was, back in the early 90s, there was a screen reader called Outspoken for the Mac, which made the computer talk.
Yes.
And then when version 10 hit the market, there wasn't any screen reader access for any blind person until 10.4, which was the Tiger version. So there was a few years there where you couldn't really have access to the Apple operating system. And I can remember getting that call from a guy in 2005, when Tiger came out. And by that stage, I was sort of a bit over Apple. And I went, oh, well, look, I wouldn't particularly worry about it. It's, you know, probably a crappy system anyway, and it probably doesn't work well. And I remember having a brief look at it and thinking, yeah, well, it was what I expected. But then the year later, when I had a proper look at it, when I had time properly, I thought, oh, this really actually does work and maybe I should be paying more attention. And ever since then, I have paid more attention. And it's just been an ongoing, fantastic relationship ever since, really.
And does that mean that Apple have consistently been working on this accessibility through the years?
Exactly. And as part of working with Apple Australia and overseas as well, I'm one of the what they call seed testers or beta testers.
Right.
So when, when Leopard came out, which was 10.5, and then, that, of course, they had Snow Leopard, Lion and now Mountain Lion. All through that series, they had people that were blind or low vision testing all the accessibility options in the operating system for the desktops and the laptops. And of course, when the iPhone 3GS hit in 2009 with VoiceOver, which made the touchscreen talk to us, I wasn't part of that particular one, but again, they had blind or low vision people testing that software as well.
What are the new and wonderful things that Apple is doing at the moment that help vision-impaired people?
Well, to me, it's more of a sort of a global accessibility thing. So the fact that they just don't cater for blind or low vision, they cope for the whole gamut of disabilities. So if you've got hearing issues, if you've got reading issues, if you need braille output, if you need large print, if you need screen reading, all that's sort of done in a very holistic fashion. So there's not just one particular thing for one disability group. And I always find when you email, you know, Apple at accessibility@apple.com, they're normally very responsive to feedback. There is a couple of things that I wish they'd still do, but overall I find them very, very, very good. For example, the main thing that sticks out for me is that once you learn VoiceOver on an iPhone, an iPad or an iPod Touch, it's then relatively easy to pick it up on the Mac desktop or the Mac laptop because the VoiceOver commands, particularly for Bluetooth keyboard, are very, very similar. So I just like that consistent approach that, you know, I can pick up my iPhone, I can pick up my iPad, or I can go back and work on my Mac laptop. And most of the concepts are very similar. So I've got that whole consistent thing between using a mobile device, whether it's a smartphone or tablet, and using the desktop computer, and, you know, just using, you know, programs like word processing, emailing and web browsing.
And you use all of these in your own life?
I do. Actually, funny enough, one of the things I use quite a lot, there's a little app on the iPhone called Light Detector, because I've got two little boys that are 7 and 9, and they like to read at night time. And all of a sudden, if my wife goes out, you know, for a meeting at night time, I'll go into their bedroom and say, "Now, is your light off?" "Absolutely, Dad, your light's off." My light's off. So I get out the little light detector app and say, "Well, that's funny, because according to my iPhone, your light is still on, which probably means you're still reading."
Pull the wool over Dad's eyes.
That's right. So that part's good. And the other one where it sticks out, and I haven't mentioned this product yet, but it's the Apple TV, which is a way of streaming movies and TV shows off the internet. So it's basically a talking digital set-top box. And what I like about it is that I can sit down with my boys and say, okay, let's go and have a look in movies and let's decide together what movies we'd like to watch. So, you know, the boys get to search for stuff that they like. Plus, because it's speaking out to me, I know exactly what the movie is, what the rating is for the movie, and if it's appropriate for their age range. And then we can just download and start doing it together. Or another big one, I guess, and this is another thing about Apple, but my son's using the Mac for school, and he's also using the iPad for school. And when he gets in trouble on either system, you know, an application might be sticking for some odd reason, I can quickly turn on speech with just one keystroke or one thing on the iPad, fix his problem, turn the speech off again, and hey presto, he's got a standard Mac or his iPad back again. It's quite funny. Fantastic. Now, because he'll actually walk up to me and say, "Oh, Dad, can you run VoiceOver to fix this for me?" So he actually knows even the language now.
What's fascinating about it is that it's not just using the computer or your mobile devices for your own satisfaction to read something or whatever, but actually to function in a very interactive way with others around you, and in this case, be a very functional parent.
That's right. One really good one is my little guy who's 7 is slightly autistic. And anyway, it's funny when we go to the park because the park's quite large and the slippery dip's sort of smack bang in the middle of the park. So if I say to him, you know, are we near the slippery dip, he'll give me some very general indication about how far we might be away from it. But what I've done with my one is I've put a GPS point of interest on the swing. So when I get close to it, I can then tell my guide dog to actually find the seat on the swing. So he just assumes it's a normal seat. So, you know, that's another way of doing it. Or when I get off the train coming back from Sydney at night time, I can set a point of interest so that when the train pulls up, I can tell whether I'm beyond or before the stairs. So, again, I can tell my guide dog, you know, to follow, go back or go forward.
Yes.
To find the stairs. So I guess what I'm getting at is that it's not just the fact that these things talk or they access Braille or they do other things, like you were just saying. It actually allows me to interact with things around me. So for going out, for going to work, for interacting with my children. And I think overall it's the interacting with my children and being part of their, if you like, their technology life.
Yes.
Is also quite valuable as well.
Tell us about how somebody might learn and understand all these different tools that you've got available to you. Does somebody ring the help desk at Vision Australia and speak to you? How does it work?
There's quite a few ways. So for the first one is definitely ring up the Vision Australia help desk. So you can do the 1-300-847-466 number and ask to speak to someone on the Adaptive Technology help desk. So that's either myself, Jim or Nick.
Mm.
Or you can email us, and the email address for the technology help desk is athelp, so athelp at visionaustralia.org.
Mm.
We've also got on the visionaustralia.org website a series of podcasts or audio demos going through stuff to do with the Apple Mac, the iPad, the iPhone, the iPod Touch and the iPod Nano, and plus other demos of other products like the talking digital Hill set-top box or the Apple TV and so on. If people want to follow me in particular, so if you happen to be a Twitter user.
In fact, I've seen some of your tweets. They're very helpful.
Yes, I tend to tweet a fair bit. I just realised I'm up to about 8,500 tweets at the moment. But if people want to tweet me, they can also tweet me. So they can do at D Woodbridge, D and then Woodbridge. WOODBRIDGE. And finally, I have a range of podcasts that I do myself on my own podcast website. So if you go into iTunes and stick in David Woodbridge as a search or search for Apple and Other Technologies podcast, you'll find my podcast as well. And I've also got a blog site now that besides having an information on Vision Australia website, if you want to get to my own blog site, it's pretty straightforward. It's just http://, and then David Woodbridge at blogspot, that's blogspot.com. And what I'm really using that website for now is any interesting things that I come across. So it's mainly Apple, but really anything that I come across in my daily life, personally or professionally at work, I'm actually going to put on that website, because one of my main aims is, you know, to share information, to share tips and tricks of anything that I have come across that I think it might be of useful for folks to use. So people have got lots of opportunities not to just talk to the help desk, but just to get access to information. And on the Podbean website, I've also got helpful links to go to other websites on the internet where people can get more information about other technologies, not just Apple.
That was David Woodbridge. And more from David on accessible technology very soon. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. I'm Barbara Sullivan. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.